Hi, my name's Courtney Doctor, and I'm the Director of Women's Initiatives at the Gospel Coalition. My friends and I lovingly refer to the women we see once a year at TGCW as our camp friends, because the time we enjoy together at a conference feels just like a week at camp. And I want to encourage you to invite your camp friends, the people you want to sit beside as you listen to great teaching, worship, stay up late chatting about theology and life, and just have fun. And if you don't have camp friends to bring, come and meet some new ones. The final price increase is on May 8th. This is your last chance to save on your registration. Sign up at tgcw24.org. I really hope to see you there. That's tgcw24.org.
Welcome back to TGC Q&A, a podcast from the Gospel Coalition, where each week you'll hear conversations between members of our council and friends who provide their unique perspective on your most pressing spiritual questions. On today's episode, Jackie Hill-Perry and Jen Pollock discuss the question, how should we respond to the paradoxes of Christianity? Let's listen in.
So Jen, what do you think are some of the paradoxes about Christianity, and how should we as Christians respond to them?
I'm starting to feel like almost everything is paradox in the Christian life. You know, that there's a lot of tension, there's a lot of places where you have to hold things that just don't seem to make sense. Like, I even just think about my own transformation. You know, that God's promise is that he will never, like, he will finish every good work he starts. That's sure and that's certain, but like in my everyday life, it doesn't always feel that sure and that certain. It feels really slow, like the paradox of, like, and even that it's already done, right? Like that when Paul writes to his letters, he calls the church saints, but clearly, you know, when he's talking to, like, the Corinthians, they are not saints yet. So that paradox of they are and they aren't, you know?
Yeah. I think one of the paradoxes that exist in the people around me, or one they struggle with the most, is this concept of God being good, yet suffering being present. How does that work? How can God be a good God, yet at the same time there are so many bad things among us? And so having to work through and figure out, okay, what do we expect out of his goodness? Because I think it's the image bearer in us to feel that there should be justice done. I think it's the impatient parts of us that don't recognize that justice is on the way, but that justice also was done in the past on Christ Jesus. And so we have the hope that God does not see what's happening, nor is God going to overlook it, but he's going to handle it if he hasn't already handled it. But I think another one is, how can God be good yet there's suffering in my life as a Christian? Ain't I his? I'm a beloved, but you say I should expect trials and that they're good for me and they're making me golden. It doesn't feel golden to have death in my family. It doesn't feel golden to have friends die from cancer or AIDS. That doesn't feel like a gold thing. But I think I've tried to anchor myself in the fact that, man, God is so much more committed to my sanctification than he is my comfort. And so that being the case, then he is good to me because he's showing me him in these difficulties.
You know, like, how should we respond to paradox, that part of the question? Like, I think about suffering and I think about the book of Job and I think about his friends being the example of how we should not, you know, respond when things are, you know, paradoxical. Like, here's Job, a righteous person, and yet he suffers. And that didn't make sense in their worldview. They were like, well, clearly, if you're suffering, you're to be blamed for it, you know? And so I think one of the things is just like, you know, allowing things sometimes to be mysterious, to be a little bit uncertain. Like, we can't, and especially in suffering, you know, I think about loss in my own life and how many people just wanted to make quick sense of that. And there are ways that scripture is making sense of our suffering, you know, that suffering produces endurance and character and hope, and that God's going to work all things together for good. But that does not really reduce the tension of it, especially when you're in the middle of it. So
you're saying that it's okay to sit in that
sometimes.
Why do you think we want to rush out of it as Christians?
I do think it's a desire for control a lot. You know, like, a God who kind of acts as we expect, a theology that is going to deliver outcomes that we can anticipate, you know, and that kind of desire for control is not faith, you know. I mean, faith is taking God at his word, whether it looks like it, you know, makes sense or not. I mean, I know that's just true for me. I don't know if you feel that way.
I think so, because I think it's sometimes there's this, until I get an answer, I'm not going to obey. Or until I get an answer, I'm not going to submit. Well, no, what God has revealed about himself means he's worthy to be trusted even when what he's doing doesn't seem to make sense. And so, yeah, I think it's definitely that. It's control. God, I don't get it. And until you help me get it, I'm not going to do nothing. But that doesn't benefit any of us to do that. Jesus asked God questions, but he still obeyed. You know, why have you forsaken me? We don't have an answer. You know, but we know ultimately the answer is that this has to happen for my glory to be magnified in my church. You know, so I think if we anchor our questions maybe in what is very clear, which is the gospel, then I think we can have some resolve even in all the confusion. Maybe.
Well, and we have the example of Jesus. Like, I feel like the Garden of Gethsemane is like right where Jesus was confronting a ton of, you know, the tension of being human and not wanting to suffer and also being fully submitted to the will of God. And I think that it's okay for it to be, there really is a both and in the garden where Jesus says, you know, if it's possible, take this cup from me, but not as I will, but as you will. And I think so often, like, we want to leave one of those parts out. We're not, maybe we're not willing to say as you will, or maybe we're not willing to say take this cup. And to say both at the same time feels like a paradox, but I think that's where real faith grows, real intimacy with God grows.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's episode of TGC Q&A. To submit a question that you would like to hear answered on this podcast, send us an email at ask@tgc.org. And remember to subscribe to our show on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks again for listening to today's episode of TGC Q&A.